Southern FM. The sounds of the Bayside.
This is The Space Show with Andrew Rennie. The Hubble Space Telescope has been orbiting the Earth for 30 years. Welcome to Program 7, celebrating this anniversary.
Sometimes your on-site is limited, and some distant things seem to be invisible. But when there opens up a window to this world of unseen things, you can see the endless beauty beyond Earth that surrounds all of us in every single second of our life. Some observe it, some explore it, and some even find inspiration from it. In space, we are not alone.
On this evening's The Space Show, we continue to explore some of the cultural aspects of the Hubble Space Telescope. Culture is expressed in music, drama, and poetry. Now let's kick off with the Portable Folk Band and their song called Hubble. Hubble Space Telescope was named in honor of astronomer Edwin Hubble of Expansion of the Universe fame. Dun Sanny's poem, written in memory of Edwin, is read for us by Sandra Spencer, who presents the program Tech Load every Wednesday at 6 p.m. right here on Southern FM.
Of Dr. Edwin Hubble by Dun Sanny. Now close the eyes that looked beyond the bound of human knowledge through the Milky Way to clusters that we had not known to stray. in that dark emptiness which rings us round, and floating in those clusters he had found millions of suns like that which make our day, where from the mountain window, ray on ray, he saw the night with universes crowned. Proud may we be that man has seen so far, and yet it never was his wont to boast of aught that he had seen beyond Earth's coast. He would have known the wonder of a star, and how those myriads opening to his eye, with all their lights, teach man humility.
Thank you, Sandra. And we've got more from you coming up in just a few seconds. Tonight on The Space Show, we are looking at some of the cultural impacts of the Hubble Space Telescope.
Above Our Earth So High by Paul Butters. Above our Earth so high, the Hubble telescope now hangs beyond our vault-like sky, an all-embracing eye now showing us the universe in all her glory. Those swirling galaxies give way to seemingly endless tracks of quasars, dust and gas. Through Hubble, we look back through time at remnants of the Big Bang, the birth, they tell us, of creation. That might be repeated over and over again. Yet, before this satellite was launched or telescopes invented, just what did humans know? What did the Aztecs know of England, or 14th century English folk know of America? As technological advances have been swift, so our state of ignorance has been revealed for all to see. For no one knows the purpose of life. Why? Oh, why do we live to die? Why? For we will die not knowing why. Ask Christ, they say, he'll show the way. Ask God, and he will too. Ask Allah, Buddha, anyone you like. And me, I'll tell you just to hope. For love will see us through.
We promised you some drama. This drama, simply called Hubble, was created by students at New York University's School of Arts.
Houston! Houston! We have a problem. I can't get a read on the radar.
Communications are going in and out. Houston, do you copy? Can you read us?
Phoenix 9, Phoenix 9, do you read us? Do you read us? We're losing you.
Honey, I'm scared.
Me too.
Mom! Dad!
Hubble, breakfast is ready.
Hubble. You look awful.
I had the nightmare again, Auntie Marie.
Oh, I'm sorry, Hubble. Just try not to think about it. Have some breakfast. I made your favorite. Eggs, bacon, sausage, pancakes, ham, potatoes, Pop-Tarts, and a Hot Pocket.
No ice cream?
Very funny, mister. You need to watch your weight.
But what if they're still out there?
Hubble, they're gone. We've gone over this. Your parents took a risk. They were lost in space, never to be found again.
But I can still feel them.
Jupiter is a planet, but it is entirely made up of gas. Imagine the Earth with no surface. And this is what we call a gas giant.
Excuse me?
Yes, Charlie?
Could Hubble be considered a gas giant? He's definitely huge, and he's sure that want to rip over here. What do you eat this morning, fat ass? Hotcakes? Because I'm over here, and this is what I smell. This is what I hear, and this is what I smell.
Now, Charlie, that's not nice.
Speaking of Planet Boy, who you taking to prom, Pluto?
Stop it, everybody. Now let's get back to the lesson.
Can I have an extra sloppy Joe?
Of course you can, Hubble.
And some ice cream?
Of course, child.
Somebody call NASA, planet coming through.
Shut up, Brad. I get it. I'm fat. Hey, Freddy.
Hey, Hubble. Don't you worry about that, man.
Thanks, Freddy. You're the only one that cares.
So, who are you gonna ask to prom, big guy? Oh, God. Big guy. Dumb word choice.
I think I'm gonna ask Stacy Shepherd.
Stacy Shepherd? She's the most popular girl in school. Fat chance. Jesus, I gotta think about what I say more.
Wish me luck.
You're going right now?
Stacy?
Excuse me?
Stacy? Would you like to go to prom with me?
Watch out, Stacy. He's trying to suck you into his orbit.
Guys, relax. Hubble, I'd love to go to prom with you.
Really? I mean, of course. That's gravy. I mean, great V. I mean, great. All right, Spacey. I mean, Stacy. I'll see you later.
Aw, honey, I'm so proud of you. You're going to have a great time at prom tonight. But whatever happens, know that I love you and I'm here for you.
Yeah. I'll be fine. I'm going with Stacy Shepherd. She's the most popular girl in school.
But it's the same party every night. And something just doesn't feel right.
Hey, Freddy.
Hey, Hubble, looking snazzy, living large. God damn it. So, have you seen Stacy?
No, not yet. I texted her, but she hasn't responded.
Oh, there she is.
All right, here we go. Hi, Stacy.
Oh, hi, Hubble.
Do you want to, dance?
Wait, what? You didn't think I was serious, did you? I mean, look at you. And look at me. Brad, get over here. I want to freak.
What happened?
I'm a planet. That's what happened. I want some food.
Look at Chubble. He's eating the whole buffet.
Oh my god. That pretzel is floating. It's going around Hubble.
Hubble, buddy, what are you doing?
Watch out, here come the plates.
They're orbiting him.
Everyone get out of the gravitational pull.
Houston, we have a problem. I can't get rid of the radar.
Mom! Dad! Where am I? What happened?
Hello, Hubble.
Who are you? What have you guys done to me?
Hubble, we have some bad news for you. You've been declared a planet.
Are you serious? I get it. I'm fat. Enough already.
I don't think you understand, Hubble. This is no joke. Your mass has reached a critical stage. Enough so that you can generate a gravitational pull. And you have magnetic poles.
I don't know what to say.
Hubble, here's your answer.
Hello, Hubble. I want you to know that I love you, and we're going to do whatever is best. But you need to listen to these smart men. They know what needs to be done.
Hubble, you've become a danger to this planet. We need to reduce your mass.
What does that mean?
Hubble, you're a smart guy. I'm going to give this to you straight. We're going to have to disassemble you.
Don't do this.
My poor Hubble.
No!
This is Bruce Shackelford reporting live from the NASA Experimental Center. All hell is breaking loose here. The building is actually crumbling and large objects are floating around the compound. I'm not sure what we're looking at, but we've gained from our source that a very large boy has gained the classification of a planet.
You have to get out of here. He's going to go critical. He's collapsing in on himself. You understand what I'm saying? He's imploding. He's going to take us in. He's a black hole.
Pack this up, guys. We got to get out of here.
Everybody, get away from me! Get away!
My God.
Hubble?
Is that you?
Mom? Dad? I knew I'd find you.
Hubble, a radio drama, is brought to you by Hunter Burke, Giancarlo Quisqualo, Colin Garland, Henry Hayes, and this is Will Kemper. A special thanks to Jocelyn Gonzalez and our 2011 first semester Tuesday AM sound image class. And an even specialer thanks to Bruce Shackelford and Alex Raspa for the vocal contributions.
From New York University. Yes, a bit of comedy there. Although, a bittersweet story there. Although the Hubble Space Telescope is essentially a United States and European Space Agency endeavor, its cultural impact is worldwide. Biswajit Ray lives in West Bengal. In 2015, he wrote Hubble. Long live Hubble.
We become cool and sleep at night, while Hubble gathers light day and night. We become cool and sleep at night, while Hubble gathers light day and night. Paul Hubble showed the expanding universe, and the cosmic reality became very hard. Hubble's theory was a cosmic victory. To give honor, NASA built Hubble, the wonder of century. We become cool and sleep at night, while Hubble gathers light day and night. It's a 2.5-meter Cassegrain grin. From its scrutinizing eyes, nothing escapes and drains. The more it looks farther, farther and farther, and the heaven appears bigger, bigger and bigger. The Hubble is not simply a telescope. It's the third eye of our planet looking into the heaven. We feel proud of it. We become cool and sleep at night, while Hubble gathers light day and night. Nothing sees so clear the deep sky object. Only Hubble is the eye, so clear and perfect. Nebulae, Cepheid, supernova and pulsars, and so many galactic clusters. We become cool and sleep at night, while Hubble gathers light day and night. Hubble, Hubble, Hubble. you were the mystery. You alone is the history. Long live Hubble in space, and overcome trouble in every case. Long live Hubble, long live Hubble, long live Hubble.
And here's Eleanor Wachtel to introduce our next poet.
Tracy K. Smith was born in Falmouth, Massachusetts in 1972, the youngest of five children. In fact, her closest sibling is 8 years her senior. Her parents came from rural Alabama, but her father was in the Air Force, so the family moved around a lot. They'd settled in suburban Northern California when Tracy was growing up. Her father, an electrical engineer, worked on the Hubble Space Telescope. In her recent memoir, she retrieves that childhood and her coming of age against a complex background of race, faith, and that old mother-daughter waltz, as I remember one writer once described it. Ordinary Light is a sort of tribute to her mother, who died when Tracy was 22. 6 years ago, she published a collection of poetry called Life on Mars, taking its title from the David Bowie song. In its exploration of cosmic mysteries, this work was in part an elegy for her father, who died while she was writing it. The book won a Pulitzer Prize. As the New York Times put it, as all the best poetry does, Life on Mars first sends us out into the magnificent chill of the imagination and then returns us to ourselves, both changed and consoled. Tracy K. Smith studied at Harvard University and then got an MFA at Columbia. All three of her poetry books have won prizes, and now she's been named the 22nd Poet Laureate of the United States. Because the cover photo of your book, Life on Mars, is of the Cone Nebula, taken by the Hubble telescope that your father had worked on. What inspiration do you get from looking at images like that?
Oh, gosh. Well, these images, it's really hard to remember that they're real, that these are photographic images, because they look so painterly to me, and they feel like these really beautiful abstractions. And there's something kind of astounding that does to the imagination. And I to be really honest with you, when I first brought my father into these poems, I forgot that he had a place within this material. I forgot that he had been a lifelong science fiction lover. And it had really just slipped my mind that for a number of years when I was in elementary school, he would go off and he was working on the optics for this telescope. And then it was almost as though he spoke to me and said, come on, Tracy, remember, this is, you know, I have a place here. And those memories came back. And so looking at these images became a really different kind of experience. It wasn't just about the astounding nature of the heavens, but also, oh, these are images that one way or another my father has a hand in. And that was really an exciting thing to remember.
Perhaps the great error is believing we're alone, that the others have come and gone, a momentary blip. When all along, space might be chock full of traffic, bursting at the seams with energy we neither feel nor see, flush against us, living, dying, deciding, setting solid feet down on planets everywhere, bowing to the great stars that command, pitching stones at whatever are their moons. They live wondering if they are the only ones, knowing only the wish to know, and the great black distance we flicker in. Maybe the dead know, their eyes widening at last, seeing the high beams of a million galaxies flick on at twilight, hearing the engines flare, the horns not letting up, the frenzy of being. I want it to be one notch below bedlam, like a radio without a dial, wide open, so everything floods in at once, and sealed tight, so nothing escapes, not even time, which should be curled in on itself and looped around like smoke, so that I might be sitting now beside my father as he raises a lit match to the bowl of his pipe for the first time in the winter of 1959. Charlton Heston is waiting to be let in. He asked once, politely, a second time with force from the diaphragm. The third time, he did it like Moses, arms raised high, face an apocryphal white, shirt crisp, suit trim. He stoops a little, coming in, then grows tall. He scans the room. He stands until I gesture, then he sits. Birds commence their evening chatter. Someone fires charcoals out below. He'll take a whiskey if I have it, water if I don't. I ask him to start from the beginning, but he goes only halfway back. That was the future once, he says, before the world went upside down. Hero, survivor, God's right-hand man. I know he sees the blank surface of the moon, where I see a language built from brick and bone. He sits straight in his seat, takes a long, slow, high thespian breath, then lets it go. For all I know, I was the last true man on this earth. And may I smoke? The voices outside soften. Planes jet past, heading off or back. Someone cries that she does not want to go to bed. Footsteps overhead. A fountain in the neighbor's yard babbles to itself, and the night air lifts the sound indoors. It was another time, he says, picking up again. We were pioneers. Will you fight to stay alive here, riding the earth toward God knows where? I think of Atlantis, buried under ice, gone one day from sight, the shore from which it rose, now glacial and stark. Our eyes adjust to the dark. When my father worked on the Hubble telescope, he said they operated like surgeons, scrubbed and sheathed in papery green, the room a clean cold and bright white. He'd read Larry Niven at home and drink scotch on the rocks, his eyes exhausted and pink. These were the Reagan years, when we lived with our finger on the button and struggled to view our enemies as children. My father spent whole seasons bowing before the oracle eye, hungry for what it would find. His face lit up whenever anyone asked, and his arms would rise as if he were weightless, perfectly at ease in the never-ending night of space. On the ground, we tied postcards to balloons for peace. Prince Charles married Lady Di. Rock Hudson died. We learned new words for things. The decade changed. The first few pictures came back blurred, and I felt ashamed for all the cheerful engineers, my father, and his tribe. The second time, the optics jibed. We saw to the edge of all there is, so brutal and alive, it seemed to comprehend us back.
In those last scenes of Kubrick's 2001, when Dave is whisked into the center of space, which unfurls in an aurora of orgasmic light, before opening wide, like a jungle orchid for a love-struck bee, then goes liquid, paint in water, and then gauze wafting out and off, before, finally,
the night tide, luminescent and vague, swirls in and on and on. In those last scenes, as he floats above Jupiter's vast canyons and seas, over the lava-strewn plains and mountains packed in ice, that whole time he doesn't blink. In his little ship, blind to what he rides, whisked across the wide screen of unparceled time, who knows what blazes through his mind? Is it still his life he moves through, or does that end at the end of what he can name? On set, it's shot after shot till Kubrick is happy. Then the costumes go back on their racks, and the great gleaming set goes black.
United States Poet Laureate Tracy Smith, reading My God, It's Full of Stars.
Bubble by Andy Brooks. Flashpoints illuminated thunderous skies. Corrosive bleak acid rain hails down. Wall Street iron hard black calcified bones. Dark, cavernous, cold cast stone, tortuous, vine-hung green of ivy-climbed runes. Imprisoned, towered, pale youth stands, sequential in a room of mirrors, reflecting but uracine thoughts, starry skies, old dog and puppy, lesser and greater, plough or decidedly dapper dipper, eastern reds and western yellows follows brilliant orbs round. Tonight the spirits rise out, worn dug graves from hell's moor. The kindred wait till red moon rises on the day of souls. Volpurgic's night, sides saddled on brooms they fly, windows rattle and winds moan. We lock the doors and pray, standing close safe within till rosy dawn makes once again the world sane on the Day of All Saints.
And we just have time for one more poem from Sandra Spencer.
Hubble Turns 20 by Satish Verma. Oh, Hubble, what was the need to discover, to go beyond for it? It was here in our hearts, the dark energy, when hearing would be lost. I will go explanatory to find the truth of star birth. On Earth, every day a star is born. On 100 light years, down in a bottomless pit, the contusion brings out the stale abuses. No kindness for even gods.
Thank you, Sandra.